everyone in the room, just say hi. There's a few people with us this morning. Stan and I, look, and I've put this stool in the wrong spot. Stan and I are kind of freaking out because we don't just have the whole building to ourselves. Because usually we'd be playing sort of dodgeball in here, chucking some stuff around, and then Karen comes in and says, stop it. And so we do because Karen's actually in charge. It's wonderful to be with you. Welcome to the wonder of Christmas, Granny Jo. Oh my goodness, what a faithful woman of God. What an incredible story to hear from. And of course, there's so much more to that. But would you just thank Jo for that incredible sharing with us. I've been privileged to get to know Jo a little because she's been part of our Monday night devotions. And we open up the Word together and we read through the Bible reading plan that Brother Lachlan has been putting together for us. And you're all welcome to that. The links, the chat team can check the links in the comments there for those devotions. But she's been sharing a lot with us, and just the wisdom that comes out of somebody that has learnt to walk with God through everything, hold on to their faith, and then inspire others is just an incredible gift to the body. And that's really what we want to encourage you with today, is that the gift to the body that you have is your story. The Bible says that we have two things, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's what's going to keep us in relationship with Christ, and that's what's going to expand the kingdom and basically bring hope to people. So we've put, you know, our Christmas windows are out there, our Christmas garden is coming together, thanks to all the gardening crew that have been doing that. It's just been a lot of fun to see people gradually coming out of isolation, you know, like these little turtles just sticking our hands out thinking, is it going to be okay? And so far it has been. I don't know about you, but, you know, a lot of what has put the exclamation point on what this season has done to me is the silly little things that happen around the house. This morning, I ran around for 5 minutes looking for my mask. It was in my pocket. This morning before the service, we were doing the briefing and we were talking about wearing our masks, and I kid you not, my mask was sitting on my wrist and I was checking every pocket and it was right there. Yesterday, I went to the supermarket and I found a spot right out front of the supermarket. I'm like, how is that spot available? That's fantastic. All right, I'll take that spot. I opened the door, step out of the door, and the reason that park was free was because it was under 3 inches of water. So I stepped into the water, and then I step, and I'm fine, I'm wet now, I'll just walk off. I take 3 steps away from my car, and I realize I don't have my mask. And no, this time it wasn't in my pocket. So I've got to go back to the car. So now, I don't know how to display, but I'm trying to stretch over the puddle whilst opening the car door to reach into the car so I could get my mask. I step over the puddle, I open the door, and I smack myself in the head with the car door. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you 2020. Isn't that just what 2020 feels like? We want to talk to you this month about the wonder of Christmas and the fact that we are never alone, the fact that hope is always present with us, always available to us, and the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus came as a baby, fully God, fully man, and brought heaven to earth for us. And we live as Christians with a faith knowing that God is Emmanuel with us. That's it in a nutshell. That's the hope we have. What we hope to do over these next few weeks is, for those of you who maybe that hasn't settled or maybe it's been troubled over this time, we want to build that faith back up. We want to build that joy back up, build that peace back up, and understand that Christ came for you. Christ came for you. You are never alone. I get to read one of my favorite passages of scripture from Luke chapter 2, but I'll do that very, very soon. But I want to tell you the three things that I need you to remember right up front. You ready? You guys, the people in the room are like, you guys are experienced churchies, right? So get your pad and your pen out or your digital. Write this down. Here are the three things. You ready? Significance is not a moving target. Significance is not a moving target, okay? Lock that one in your mind. Loneliness is not the same as alone. Loneliness is not the same as alone. And hope is an anchor for your soul. Significance is not a moving target. Loneliness is not the same as alone. And hope is an anchor for your soul. I wrote down this, all of these rely on internal transformation. All of these things, significance, your sense of being together and known and not alone, and your sense of hope, all of that relies on internal transformation. All of these have nothing to do with external validation. None of these have anything to do with other people telling you these things, because if you've been in the position that every other human being has been in, of being alone in a crowd, feeling depressed though you're smiling, those kinds of things, you will know that it doesn't matter if people tell you to be happy or tell you you're not alone. It's not the external, it's the internal work. It's the internal work that convinces you of those things and allows you to live in that space. And all of these have eternal implications. Significance is not a moving target. Loneliness is not the same as alone. Hope is the anchor for your soul. All of these rely on internal transformation. They have nothing to do with external validation. And all of these have eternal implications. And that's why at WBC and hopefully every other church around the place, we are so desperate to help people understand that there is an eternal implication to the message that we are bringing to you right now. And the eternal implication is you are a person made up of mind, body, soul, and spirit, and your spirit is alone without God. There is a part of you that no matter what you gather around you, no matter how big the crowd gets around you, no matter your achievements, no matter how good of a person you are, no matter how many people think you're amazing, there's part of you that will feel like something is missing and that you're alone unless you understand the hope that we have in Christ and the promise of the cross to save all of us and to bring us into relationship with the Creator, returning the created unto the Creator. And that's what we want to get across to you. So if you get nothing else today, get that. As you're watching all the videos again, the mashups and all that sort of stuff, just remember that God came as a child in the person of Jesus and did that to show his love in a way that was unmistakable, that could not be denied, and that changed the course of history thereafter. This week has been, I don't even know how to describe it, but somewhere between insane and ridiculous. as a staff here, we've been trying to get the space ready for people. This place has been all sorts of things over the last 9 months, and now it has to be a place for people to gather and an online studio and all of those things. We've been working on gardens and windows and camera shots and video edits in the background, and somewhere in the midst of that, you know, we've been preparing messages and devotions and all that sort of stuff. But this week actually started, if I go back 7 days, I was at a wedding. It was beautiful, and I sang a love song at the wedding. I was just scared of all the people around me, because there's like people at the wedding. Has anyone had one of those experiences yet? You've walked into the shops and gone, and then you go back to your online shopping instead. Hit click. I was at a wedding. Then, sadly, we had to host a funeral for a 12-year-old girl. Simon and I were on the tech desk running the room, many of you know of the child that was connected to the school here, but that was incredibly tough to sit here and just absorb the grief that people go through and realize that in those moments of grief, you reach into your pockets and you got nothing. Silver and gold have I none. And you realize once again that hope is an anchor for our soul. And I saw people stand and say, despite this grief, despite this loss, we have this hope. And then later I had to attend a man's court case and just sort of try and play a role in that court case. It was a strange experience to go from a funeral to the court case was online. What a strange thing. Sometimes as ministers we do these sorts of things, but it was one of those strange things. And then I had booked a time to be with a musician friend of mine and write another love song. So in the same day, I'd gone from a funeral to a court case to a grand piano and a love song. And all of those things have these weird push and pull moments, and all of them have these moments of, I wish I was somewhere that was perfect. I wish I was somewhere that just made sense, was consistent, and the fundamentals never changed, and my life was at peace because the ground never shifted. But that's not the gospel. The gospel reminds us that the ground is going to keep shifting. The ground is going to keep shifting, but your significance should not. Significance is not a moving target. The ground is going to keep shifting, but you are going to stay anchored. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul. We are never alone, despite feeling lonely. There were moments during this week where I sat in a group, like at the funeral, and it felt like everyone was having a moment of this is horrible. This is lonely. And you've had that feeling too, standing amongst people going, nobody understands what I'm feeling right now. And I'm sort of comforted in the fact that that's true. Nobody does understand what you're feeling, because that's what they are. They are feelings. They are processes that we don't quite understand. We try and measure the synapses of the brain, and we try and measure blood pressures and heart rates and all those things, and we have some sense of what it is, but where does a feeling even come from? How does the mental game go from, you know, Sunday full of faith and Monday I want to go hide in a cave? But God knows this about his creation, and he started the whole thing by trying to draw us unto himself. On Friday night, at the end of that same day, so I'd done the funeral and the court case and a love song, and then our youth group was meeting at the beach and doing an in-person youth group gathering, and Abby and her team were just smiling from ear to ear. I could see that because they were allowed to take their masks off. And at the end of that, the kids had all packed up, and I was walking back to the car to drive the kids home, and there was a man standing on the beach with a very long telephoto lens camera. And you know, you get that little voice that says, go talk. So I went and talked. I'm kind of used to that by now. The Holy Spirit is like, just do this, and you're just like, all right, fine. Because see, what I know is if I get in the car and drive home, I just feel terrible. I don't know if God places like guilt on us or whatever it is, but it's like, you didn't. Anyway, I went and spoke to the man. He had a very raspy voice and very long, scraggly beard and very deep-set eyes. And he had this very long telephoto lens, and I just thought, well, that's the opener. What, mate, you're taking some photos, you're trying to get the bird. He goes, yeah. And he had that real raspy voice. You know that one? And he started showing me his camera and showing me a couple of shots. He even got me to hold the camera. Hey, here's what it does, mate. You know, here's my multi-$1,000 thing. Yeah, carry that, stranger. I said, well, what do you do this for? He said, oh, it's really great. It's great to get out. He said, it wards off the depression. And that's when I knew why I was in the conversation. Everybody's got something going on. Everybody needs an anchor. It was a very brief conversation, but it was very enlightening. And he was encouraged and I was encouraged. And I said, God bless you. And he looked at me and his eyes lit up and he went, God bless you too, mate. So Paul, if you're watching, mate, cheers. You made my day. But when he said that thing, it wards off the depression. I thought amongst all the other pandemic information, we've been talking about this sense of people feeling isolated and feeling lonely and feeling like nothing's going right and feeling like there's no rhythm to life. And basically the ground just keeps moving and moving, and every time you put your foot there, it seems like it's moved some more. It's like shifting sands on the beach and you can't find that anchor. And we preach from a word that says this hope is an anchor for your soul. That's what Hebrews 6 says. It's an anchor for your soul. And so right now, if you're not feeling that anchor, that's our prayer for you. And we pray that something that's said or sung or spoken through this gathering or any of the gatherings to come would remind you, inspire you, and can convict you, really, that God is there for you. Significance is not a moving target. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. And it says that just after a scripture that says, we are beaten up and we are flattened, but we are not defeated, because we have this treasure. We have this treasure inside ourselves. We know we are fragile, but we are held together. Significance is not a moving target. Psalm 116, it says, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. And that scripture comes after David bitterly complaining about the things that have gone wrong, about the wars, about the evils that are going on around him, and about the lack in his own life. And yet he stops and says, but the Lord, my soul, he preaches to himself. You've got to preach to yourself. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Significance comes from who you are internally. These are internal works and not external works. So you have to have this anchor that keeps anchoring you. And you have to be reminded. The psalmist reminds himself over and over again. He preaches to himself. You got to preach to yourself. It's great to turn on the service and gather like this and comment and feel sort of connected. That's fantastic. But Sunday full of faith, Monday hide in the cave is a pretty common feeling. And sometimes it's Sunday morning full of faith, Sunday 2 minutes after that, wanting to hide in a cave. Because reality smacks us in the face, right? You stand in the puddle, you smack yourself in the head with the door, you can't find your mask, whatever it is. And real stuff that happens too, but they're just the silly examples. Significance isn't somewhere else. It's not in stuff. It's not in achievements. It's not a certificate on the wall. It's not the amount of friends you have on social media. It's not whether you know a famous person. It's not whether you are a famous person. Significance cannot be a moving target, because if it is, we all lose. Because as soon as that stuff is taken away, so is your significance. Jesus came to speak right to our hearts, to invade the internal space. This is not an external work. Loneliness is not the same as alone. Luke 5:16 says Jesus often withdrew to pray. Often withdrew to lonely places to pray. He wanted to be alone so he could be together with his Father. So alone is really important if you've got that first bit right. The significance bit will allow you to be alone without losing your significance or losing your connectivity, all those sorts of things. See, what the enemy wants to do is divide and conquer. If the enemy can tell us that we are alone, if the enemy can tell us that Emmanuel, God with us, is not with us, then he starts winning the ground war, right? And eventually divides the heart from what you know. And so I want to preach this gospel to you, this good news to you, that God, Emmanuel, God with us, is here, is speaking to us right now. Loneliness is not the same as alone, and hope is an anchor for your soul. Hebrews 6:19. Everything that I love about sort of Marvel movies, any Marvel movies fans here? Yeah, Marvel. I didn't understand Marvel. I didn't get it. I wasn't a comic book guy. I was a good Christian kid. I read the Archie comics that were, you know, had Jesus messages. I didn't realize this back in the day. Apparently the secular kids got different Archie comics and we got the ones with Jesus in them. I didn't understand that. But anyway, I wasn't really a comic guy. But when DC started with Marvel, oh crumbs. I just offended all the people. When they started making the Marvel universe, we understood that the way you make 17 movies in a row is you go back to the origin story first and you build it up, right? Origin stories are actually fundamental to our understanding of ourselves and the world around us. The origin story of our creation is fundamental to who we are. The origin story of Christ and the origin story of man matter in how we understand this. So Genesis 2:18, God makes man, and man goes and names all the animals, does all the farming and whatever, and then God says, hang on. It's not good for man to be alone. And then he created something better. Gave us woman. Yes, that's me sucking up to my wife. Right? To partner with one another. The word describes it as a helper. To help one another, to be yoked together, to walk alongside, to walk beside. It's not good for us to be alone. We understand that. And yet this whole season seems to have been alone. And right through the Old Testament, you can find prophets that are alone and kings that are alone and people that are hiding in caves because they feel like they're the last prophet left or the last person left. And aloneness is a theme of David's writing. It's a theme. It's a human experience. And yet the scripture, the origin story, says it's not good for us to be alone. And that's why Emmanuel, God with us, is so very, very important. Luke 2:7 says, "She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn." That is possibly one of the most famous scriptures that we know. Most people probably know it as a story rather than a scripture. But if you understand it as a scripture, it teaches us something and it reminds us that something beautiful happened in this single moment. And if you zoom in, all you see is a baby lying in a manger. You see this alone child. And then you zoom out a little and you see Mary and Joseph, who must have been feeling terribly alone through all the experiences they were going through. But as you zoom out, you see more and more people coming to this truth, this message. You see wise men, you see shepherds, you see people gathering around, you see worship starting to happen, and you see the storyline of humanity begin to change. And that's the origin story of why Christmas is so important and why speaking of Christ is so important. One of my favorite characters in the Word is a lady named Anna. This is what it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 33. There was a prophetess. Verse 36, there was a prophetess. Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at the very moment she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Jesus had been presented at the temple. And Simeon had been presented with Jesus. Mary and Joseph had presented him to the chief priest, to Simeon. And Anna comes into this picture. This is literally all we know about Anna. This is it. These few verses about Anna. Anna is a prophetess. She's one of seven female prophets in the Old Testament. Only seven that we know of. She was of the tribe of Asher. Asher was one of those tribes that in Chronicles 27, where David is listing the tribes, he doesn't list Asher. Asher's sort of a forgotten tribe. They're a remnant of a remnant of a remnant. And yet, here comes Anna, who has waited and waited and waited. We don't know how old she was when she got married, so we can sort of calculate that she was married for 7 years, but she was widowed up till, and she's 84 at this point. So you'd have to think they got married very young. You'd have to think maybe she was in her 20s. So you'd have to think that maybe for 60 years, she's taken up residence at the temple, and she's waited and she's waited. Anna is still here. Anna is alone, but she's here. Here's your hashtag for this morning for all you hashtaggers. This is Anna. Hashtag, be like Anna. Be like Anna. Kingdom purpose is everything. It's all we have. Kingdom purpose is everything. The scripture says she worshiped day and night. Remember, significance is not a moving target. She was anchored. Kingdom purpose is everything. That's what gives us a place. Because kingdom purpose is wherever you are. Doesn't matter how much the ground shifts, your heart stays anchored. And so kingdom purpose is everything. Connected to the source is everything. Staying connected to the source is everything. She never left the temple, says the scripture. Loneliness is not the same as alone. She was connected to the source. It's like, the New Testament says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So staying connected is up to you. Staying in devotion, staying in prayer, staying in relationship, all of those things that I hope you've done okay at through this COVID time. But stay connected to the source. That's everything. And staying the course is everything. She was fasting and praying daily. Her hope anchored her in that place. She didn't move away from the temple. She stayed there at the source and she stayed the course. Now, staying the course gets a little confusing because for some of us, it feels like, I don't know, maybe for me in ministry, it's been like you get that job in ministry, so you just have to stay there forever, and that's what faithfulness to God is. I'm looking at some of my pastor friends on the front row, you know. But right? That's what I understood as a young man. God called me here, so that's where God's called me. I'm looking at some missos in the crowd here that are living here, used to live in Ethiopia, right? Your mission is wherever you are. So staying the course is listening and obeying the voice of God to go where he sends you, right? We taught through Exodus. Go where he sends you. It doesn't mean you have to stay physically where you are. It just means you have to stay the course that was set when you met Jesus. Because that thing is everything. And if you haven't met Jesus, our prayer for you is that over this season, you understand and connect and receive the good news. And you say a prayer that says, Jesus, come and be my friend. It's been an interesting season for us. And though my wife can't be with me here today in this physical space, I thought I might ask her a couple of questions because she's a trained therapist and she's smarter than me. And then I thought I might ask her to pray with us. And finally, we decided to use a song that I think most of you will know, that isn't necessarily a hymn sung in church, but it is a hymn sung around the world. And for the Christian person that understands hope as an anchor for your soul, I think you'll get something out of this too. It was midnight a couple of nights ago. Suze, myself, Simon, Beck and a few bunch and Juz were there, and we filmed this thing for you. So we're going to show you that in a minute. But first, I'm going to ask my wife some questions, and then she's going to pray for us.
As we start this Christmas season, and so many of you are still just viewing this online from home, I thought I'd ask my wife, who's a trained art therapist, and of course I always say I'm her number one patient, although, you know, that's probably a conflict of interest, that we've talked about being like Anna. And what an incredible example Anna is. Just a few verses in the New Testament, and we find out this about this incredible woman who stayed the course and stayed anchored and all that sort of thing. But, you know, we've talked about marriage is not... We've known each other for 20 years. We've been married for 18. I think I've been there the whole time. And but you can still feel alone even in this relationship, can't you?
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's a long time to share a life, I think.
You've got to stay for ages. I mean, you said till death, you know.
Drawing from Christ means that I won't be over-dependent on Justin. So drawing from Christ for my significance, for my need to be connected all the time, won't make me over-dependent on someone that doesn't have everything to give to me all the time. We're meant to give what Christ gives us. We're meant to give that to our partner. We're meant to give that to our marriage.
Well, and just give it to others, isn't it?
Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Any partnership, any relationship you have, you're not meant to take from them. You're meant to draw from Christ and give them. Like, you know, that's the way God can gift people, is you draw from Christ and he uses you to give that gift to the person that you're relating to.
I guess the point I was trying to make is that you don't need, you know, Jesus was a single man.
Yeah.
Anna was a single woman.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of singles. It's not about being single or married or otherwise. It's about drawing from a deep well of Christ and giving to others. So many people feel that 2020 has emptied them out.
Yeah.
So I guess again, the question is pretty simple. Where do you draw from?
Yeah.
When, you know, you've got the five kids, you've got that busy life, you've got the work.
You can feel terribly alone with five kids. And knowing that you have the company of all of them, but you can feel terribly alone in that. You can feel terribly alone in wherever you are. I guess Christ is all what promises he'll always be with you. I know from the very first day that I met Christ when I was a young person, he was with me through many, many different trials.
Including this marriage.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
And he promises to be in all the places of loneliness. He promises to be there. And he fulfills that place. And not just that, when we absorb him and his purpose and his love of humanity, then immediately we become the body of Christ and we immediately have his hope and his purpose in us, and then we desire to again draw from him and gift others, and so we're immediately connected into his purpose and we want to connect in with other people to give them that gift. So realistically, Christ gives us that gift that we're always connected and desiring to connect back in, and he'll send you on a journey where you'll continue to reconnect with people. You'll reconnect because it's God's mission in this world is to reach his people. And so automatically when you draw from him, he'll reconnect you back into the body over and over and again. And I'm not talking about reconnecting you into a church service. He's talking about, I'm talking about reconnecting you into the person walking down the street and the people next door and the people at the supermarket and the people that you teach at school and whoever you're connected with, people in emergency services, when you go into casualty with your sick child. He is purposefully connecting you over and over and over. And sometimes you get that little tingle in you of, I need to talk to this person. I need to help this person. This person dropped something at the supermarket. Yeah. I need to keep reconnecting. God will keep reminding you that you are not alone. And the purpose that he puts in your life continually reconnects you back over and over again.
It's beautiful. I'm going to ask you to pray for us in just a moment. I actually wanted to finish this gathering with a song that is not actually a hymn, but is sung like a hymn all around the world. It actually goes right back to the start of the 20th century. And I wrote this guy's name down. Fernick Molnar wrote a play called Lilium. And Lilium was about the down and outers and the tragic styles of life. You know, it was one of those kind of one of those kind of plays. It didn't take off till after the Second World War, and after that, a couple of blokes named Rodgers and Hammerstein picked it up, wrote a play, wrote a musical called Carousel, and that's where the song Never Walk Alone comes from. And Never Walk Alone is written as essentially words of comfort to someone who has lost a loved one. And that's why it resonates so much around the world. And when I listen to it and I think of Never Walk Alone with hope in your heart, for the Christian person, it's easy to understand that that hope that Hebrews talks about, that's an anchor for our soul, is the promise that Christ gives us of life beyond the now, and a love that is beyond our understanding, and a peace that is beyond our understanding. So play it in just a moment. But I wonder if you could start our Christmas season by just praying a blessing over us.
Sure, no worries. Lord God, I just thank you so much that you've turned up for us in our lives right now, Lord God. You've given us hope. You've given us purpose. You've given us direction. You have every good gift in you. And that's all we need, is your every good gifts. Lord God, fill us up right now. Let us take this moment to just know those good gifts. Prepare us to give out those good gifts. It might be in our workplaces, everyone's really tired at the end of this year. It might be in our family life. It might be with family that we're not quite getting along with at the moment. It might be down the street as people prepare for Christmas and people are tired. And it might be where people are, you know, not parking properly. It could be anything, Lord God. But Lord, let us give those good gifts rather than trying to take. I expect this of you. I expect better of you. I want to take from you. Lord, let us take from you rather than take from those that are around us. Let us be the good gift givers. You want to reconnect with your people. You want to reconnect over and over and over. Let us help us distribute these good gifts. My children say, God, that Christmas is about sharing, and it's Jesus' birthday, and Jesus, and what does Jesus do? He shares. Thank you for sharing, Lord God. Thank you for sharing these good gifts. Help us to shower these good gifts on all those that are around us in the coming weeks. In your precious name we pray. Amen.